This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to Province Sports Radio. I'm Jonathan McDonald. I'm delighted to be joined by longtime Province writer Howard Samura. And first of all, folks, I have to tell you, this is not November of 1995. This is November of 2015, 20 years later. But Howie and I are transporting ourselves miraculously back to November of 95, when the NBA's Vancouver Grizzlies kicked off their franchise history. Howie, welcome to Province Sports Radio.
Jonathan, great to be with you. And you know, it's interesting, when you think back to that year, think of how big cell phones were back in those times. I mean, that's how long we're talking about. I remember my first cell phone that I got working at the newspaper was a huge, huge piece of machinery. just to give a time reference to 20 years passing by, a lot has changed, obviously, over the last two decades.
You know, I still have a big cell phone from the company. Anyway, that's another story. Howie, the reason you're on here, of course, is you were our original beat writer for the Vancouver Grizzlies. They, of course, started 20 years ago Tuesday tomorrow, so November 3rd, 1995. Howie, let's, first of all, the reason we're doing the podcast is because you've got a kind of a cool project for the winter of 2015-16. You want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's an idea, and I think the two of us have kind of come up with the idea 20 years ago today, and it's to relive the entire debut season of the Vancouver Grizzlies in 1995-96, taking our readers, our listeners, everybody through that. You might want to use the word excruciating, but also, you know, there was a kind of a birth of a new sports culture in our city, and it was amazing to be a part of that as one of the beat reporters. I should say Lowell Ulrich as well, recently retired from this newspaper, worked with me that season as well, covering the team, and it was an extraordinary adventure. Very, very tough at times, but I think our opportunity here to recount that season, Jonathan, 82 games, each game, as it happened throughout this entire NBA season, which began last week in earnest, you know, in 2015-16, but back then in 95-96, for some reason, happened a week later. It actually opened, you know, on November the 3rd, 1995.
Right. So the plan here, Howie, is that through the year, you're going to write, essentially, you're going to write, I wouldn't call them game stories, but you're going to tell us what happened 20 years ago today. As you and I have discussed, these are not all worth big stories, and you don't have the time to write, you know, 80 plus big stories. Sometimes it's just going to be a couple of paragraphs in the pages of Province Sports. But some days it's going to deserve more. Some days it's going to deserve a full memory, a story, you sharing with the readers what you remember about what happened 20 years ago. So without sort of stealing from your first piece, just tell us about, what do you remember about that first day?
Wow.
Something, you know what? Something that jumps out at you.
I remember getting off of a bus that had driven from Vancouver down to Portland. There were some media members on that bus. There were some Grizzly staffers. And basically, you know, there was an opportunity to accompany them. It was a short drive, so we took a bus down instead of flying. And I just remember getting off the bus and looking at this brand new building, the Rose Garden. It had never, ever hosted a professional sports regular season game. And that whole sense of newness, I think, carried through this new Vancouver franchise, this brand new building in Portland for the Trailblazers. And, of course, Vancouver played the Trailblazers that first night. And I don't think we're giving away too much by saying, and I think most people remember, it's part of our sports history in Vancouver, that the Grizzlies actually won that first game. And there was so much adrenaline in that Vancouver lineup. I have oftentimes thought back 20 years that I don't think it would have mattered who played on that Vancouver team, Jonathan. I think they would have won the game. Somebody would have emerged as the hero. The adrenaline kind of, the Grizzlies were picked as a million to one to win the NBA championship at the start of the season. And I just remember that whole kind of absolute underdog, worst NBA team in history as an expansion team, all of that stuff throughout the preseason. And I think that really kind of manifested itself when the regular season opened that night in Portland.
Howie, what was the attitude like? Because, of course, you know, in Vancouver, they had a lifetime record of 101 wins and 359 losses and are remembered as losers. But they won that first game on November 3rd, 2015, and then they won their second game against, I believe, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct.
At that time, they were 2-0, and that was very short-lived, of course. But what was the attitude like? What did you see as a guy covering the NBA for the first time? It's an expansion team. They've brought together this sort of weird motley collection. It's always that way with expansion teams in any sport. A bunch of guys brought together. I'm sure some of them against, you know, sort of against their will. What was that attitude like going into the first night? Did it seem like a team that wanted to succeed?
Oh, it most definitely did, because I think, and this is probably not unique to an expansion situation, you know, that you've got guys that were basically told by their teams that they weren't good enough to break a main rotation, even be a bench player on an existing NBA team. And earlier that summer when we had the expansion draft, you know, every team was supposed to leave one player unprotected. So when you looked at that scenario, you know, from those 27 teams that were there, basically, you know, there was one guy on each team that was, for whatever reason, his skill, the size of his contract, you know, whether he was considered a bust early in his career, all these guys were just left available. And I think when you finalize your roster with a couple of rookies, a couple of free agents, and, you know, 9 or 10 of these other guys that are cast-offs, you're going to get this us against the world kind of feeling. And some of the guys on that team, they really, really, I think, felt that they had gotten the short end of the stick, and they really wanted to prove, whether it was going to be in Vancouver in future years or another team, you know, in a couple of years, that they had what it took to be, you know, players that could contribute. So you had guys like Blue Edwards and Greg Anthony, you know, who were, in my estimation, very, very solid rotation NBA players. And they really were the veteran kind of presence that really got this group motivated early on in this existence. And we're talking the first, you know, one or two games of the season. You could tell they were playing with a purpose. But I think what I learned as a rookie reporter that year covering the NBA was, you know what, the old college rah, 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 it will only last, you know, so long. And guys are superstars in this league for a reason. They make plays down the stretch, and they can will their teams to win. And when this season got underway, it just became so obvious that there just was not enough talent there to get that done from the Vancouver standpoint. And obviously, it made for a really long and frustrating season.
Howie, you made reference to the short end of the stick and the expansion draft. And I wanted to ask you about the 1995 NBA draft, which, of course, happened a few months before the season began. The NBA had decided in its own infinite wisdom that the expansion cousins from Canada would not be allowed for, I believe, the first 3 years to have the first pick in the NBA draft. And I can't remember exactly what the rule was in 95 either that saw the Grizzlies not picking until sixth overall. What was that all about, by the way?
Well, I think what happened was the league mandated where Toronto and Vancouver were going to pick. And what they did was there was an expansion draft, and then there was the NBA, you know, the entry draft of college players. And they basically flipped a coin, which Vancouver won, and Vancouver was given the choice if they wanted to pick first in the expansion draft or first in the rookie draft. And they elected to pick first in the rookie draft, so that they got the sixth overall pick in that draft. Toronto would pick seventh and pick Damon Stoudemire. Vancouver, of course, picked sixth and got Big Country Reeves, and Toronto picked first in the original expansion draft.
Right. Now, Howie, but in that 95 draft, they take Big Country, you know, he's legendary, of course, here, has been for 20 years for various reasons. But you look back at that 95 draft, you think about the teams that drafted it ahead of the Grizzlies and the Raptors and got guys like Kevin Garnett and Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace, guys who became all-stars. In Garnett's case, a Hall of Famer who, shockingly, is still playing basketball. That seems like the short end of the stick. I know that David Stern, before he retired, was asked about his greatest regret as NBA commissioner, and he said his greatest regret was the way he treated the Grizzlies and the Raptors, which is, I always thought, was really interesting candor from a soon-to-retire commissioner, and yet a bit of a screw you. You know, is that what the league did? Did they screw over these teams that had paid handsomely to join the NBA?
Well, I think if you look at it in the broad scope, there's no question that they got screwed over. I think, first of all, just to clarify David Stern's point, it wasn't Vancouver and Toronto. It was Vancouver specifically that he felt he had his greatest regret letting that franchise leave the city and not being able to bring one back before he left as commissioner. But I think the pressure from his board of governors, from the teams around the league, his fellow Lodge brothers, that he was supposed to be looking out for their best interests. And basically, just because, and it's a story that's been told before regarding, you know, the wave of expansion that happened before Vancouver and Toronto came into the league, a two-year back-to-back years of adding two new teams each year that brought Charlotte, Minnesota, Orlando, and Miami into the league. In Orlando's case, you know, winning the lottery in consecutive years and being able to add Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway and getting to the NBA Finals. In fact, the Orlando Magic played in the NBA Finals the year before Vancouver came into the NBA. And consider they had only come into the league, I believe it was the 92-93 or 91-92 season. They were a brand-new franchise playing in the NBA Finals, and the rest of the league, the established teams, they didn't want that happening with Vancouver and Toronto, and thus said, you know, in the 2 years, I believe it was in the 2 years following their initial seasons, weren't going to be allowed to pick first overall in the NBA draft. So they just didn't want these great young, especially big front court presences being allowed to come to these expansion teams. They could turn a team's fortune overnight. And I think that's why Vancouver and Toronto were not allowed to do that. And as they say, the rest is history.
Howie, I know there's a lot of, there's a variety of opinion about the Grizzlies' years here, the way they were received, what it was like, what the fans were like, the support, suggestions that the arena was often papered. I went to a lot of games, and I always thought it was fun. I always had a great time, and they lost, of course, most of the time. But I remember there was a player poll done, maybe more than one during their 6 years here. But basically, the NBA players said that the Vancouver audience was the least intelligent basketball audience in the NBA. That struck me as unfair when, you know, they would go to places like, you know, they'd play against the Clippers on the road and there'd be 1,500 people in the crowd. I don't know how you can see a crowd of 1,500 being more intelligent than a crowd of 15,000. But I just never, like, I always got the impression sitting in GM Place, as it was called then, that people knew exactly what was going on.
You know what? I will say this, just as a guy who's just covered, you know, the most raw kind of grassroots basketball at the high school and college level for the last few decades here, is there's certain junctures in a game where you need to be cheering your team on, you know, down a fourth quarter stretch, coming out of a timeout. There were instances over the first year or two where you just didn't hear that. And I think it was only because they just hadn't been to a lot of basketball games. But I thought by the end of their tenure here, the crowd was as knowledgeable and as enthusiastic and just really behind this team, despite its shrinking numbers towards the end of its existence here in Vancouver. You know, I've often said if you could come up with some kind of formula to determine the actual passion per fan that the Grizzlies had, among the best in the league, although they were small in numbers by the time they left. And I thought they were a very, very passionate group that followed that team. And let's face it, they had to put up with so much garbage over the last 2 years that this team was in town. From Bill Lawrie, you know, being brought in and tried to take the team, to Michael Heisley, the late Michael Heisley, who ultimately succeeded. They just weren't able to, you know, get that kind of stuff out of the way. They wanted to cheer for this team, but they wondered, are they going to be here next year? That happened for two straight years, and that really can take a lot of steam out of your fan base.
Howie, last question for you. When you first pitched this idea to me, which was only last week, one of the reasons you said you thought it would work is because you said 20 years later, there seems to be this sort of funny cult around the Grizzlies, that they seem in particular, popular, or they resonate with a crowd that is by and large too young to have ever seen them play live. Why is this? Why are they so popular? Why is it that when the Raptors come here for preseason games that are less than meaningless, Do they sell out Rogers Arena? Yeah. What is the reason for this?
Well, I think before we actually try and pinpoint an exact reason, I think you've answered a question right now, Jonathan. That is, if they brought a franchise back, how would they do? They would do exceptionally well. They would be fine if they were able to get a team in here. I think they could pick up right where they left off. If management would make the right moves here, this could be a true basketball town. And there's no question in my mind about that. I think the young people love the NBA. I think amongst young people, it might be their number one sport. And you know, they want to be a part of it. And when they discover that they used to have a team, I think it's just natural that they kind of lean on that as, this is kind of retro, this is cool, we used to be an NBA city. And that's why you're seeing so many of these Grizzlies caps and jerseys and all that kind of stuff being worn by young people around town. And I think it's great to see. And hopefully, hey, you know, maybe it leads to down the road something happening with the franchise coming back here.
Yeah, absolutely. Howard, thanks for joining me. We look forward to essentially what is going to be running over the course of the next 6 months, this funny series where sometimes it'll be as little as two paragraphs and other times as much as a full page in the pages of Province Sports. And I look forward to having you again on Province Sports Radio to look back 20 years.
Well, thanks for having me, Jonathan. And as you said, it's going to be memories. That's what it's going to be about, from somebody who was there over the course of that entire first season to share some of those memories. And I can't believe it, but 20 years ago today.
Shocking. Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Jonathan.